The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and verses 4 to 18. The reading can be found on page 1153 in the Church Bible or page 2029 in the large print version. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gift of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So as I begin, a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At Jesus' baptism, as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven upon him, and this marked the beginning of his ministry. A ministry that would see thousands of people come to him to be healed of diseases, cleansed of evil spirits, forgiven their sins. A ministry that calls all peoples to himself and will ultimately reconcile all things to God through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus accepted this ministry in the full knowledge that it would lead him to a Roman cross of execution. That's why baptism isn't about joining a cozy club. It's about commitment to Jesus Christ, to a cause that's costly. For some Christians, even unto death. And next week, here in St. Mary's at our 10:30 service, we've got Mervyn Thomas, the chief executive of Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and he'll be speaking about the persecuted church around the world. Places where being a Christian costs more than a few pounds in the plate on a Sunday, but life on the line every day of the week. Come along to that if you can. After Jesus' resurrection, he left his disciples with the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them and teach those disciples all he had taught them. But before they could begin that great mission, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. The Holy Spirit came down upon those first disciples and equipped them to take the good news of Jesus to the world. Jesus made disciples who made disciples who made disciples, and so on. And the Holy Spirit has equipped each of those disciples down the centuries and around the world. And that's why we are here today. 2,000 years later, here we are in St. Mary's in Wargrave. Each one of us, if a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, is equipped by the Holy Spirit to continue that great commission. As the Holy Spirit equipped Jesus and the early disciples, he has equipped each of us. The question for each of us to try to work out is, how has the Holy Spirit equipped me? And what has he equipped me for? Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So if Paul thought it important for the Corinthians to know about the gifts of the Spirit, then it follows that it's important for us to know too. So let's look at these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why the Spirit gives us gifts, what they might be, and why it's important that we try to understand what we are each gifted for. Because once we know what our gifting is, we will know what God's purpose for us is. Now, Paul begins by making it clear that there are different gifts, but they are all given by the same Spirit, and they are all of equal status. There are different gifts because God has different tasks for us. But we work for the same Lord, and the same Lord works through each of us. Verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts, these abilities, for the common good. Each of us is gifted, not for our own personal gain, but for the good of each other as a whole. We are given these gifts so that we can build each other up as Christ's church. Paul compares the church to a body, a human body, and the individuals within the church to various parts of the body. Every single part of a body works together for the health of the whole body. If one part isn't working properly or is damaged, then the whole body is damaged. My finger may be small, but if I break my finger, it makes it very hard for me to pick things up, to write, to type, to text, even to dress. So I do all that I can to get it working properly so that I can be 100% fit. As it is with every part of our body, each playing its part, so it is with each Christian. As we serve with our different gifts, working together for the growth of Christ's church, no one regarding themselves as more important than another, the Spirit makes the church healthier, stronger, and fitter. Fit for purpose. So that we are better able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to our community. God saves us because he loves us. But God wants to save everyone. So he equips us for that task. We are saved to save. We are blessed to bless. We are all integral and essential to God's plan. To paraphrase Paul, verse 18, God has placed each of us exactly how and where he wants us to be. So what are these spiritual gifts? Including those that Paul has listed in the reading this morning, there are, give or take, about 25 gifts and abilities of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the Bible. They include supernatural wisdom and knowledge, the ability to know things that we could not possibly know unless directly revealed to us by God. Also includes faith, the ability to heal or work miracles, the ability to prophesy, to hear God's voice, and then to speak to other people what God is saying, the ability to speak truth to power. There's discerning good and bad spirits, speaking in unknown languages and interpreting those unknown languages. Now, these gifts are the ones we often struggle with. Maybe because they're just too weird for our 21st century rational Western minds. But perhaps the reason we see so little of these gifts in our churches is because they require more faith than we have. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit also gives other gifts. The gift of helping and serving others. The gift of administration. The gift of creativity, which includes music and art and craft. The gift of teaching, of encouragement, of generosity. The gift of leadership. Gifts of evangelism, pastoral guidance, coming alongside others. The gift of intercession and hospitality. Each of these gifts is a supernatural gift. They are given by God for as long as God chooses us to have them, and he expects us to use them. Not for our own good, but for the good of everybody else. But this is often the reason why some people seem so good at praying, or caring, or inviting people round for meals, or telling people about Jesus, or even trusting God, or knowing just the right words to say at just the right time. Because God has made them that way. And if God hasn't given us the gift of hospitality, then hosting a meal can be an absolute nightmare. And if we aren't gifted intercessors, praying out loud can make us break out into a cold sweat. And if we aren't gifted evangelists, our words can trip over themselves as they stumble out of our mouths. If we try to do what God hasn't equipped us for, we can end up miserable, frustrated, and confused. God has made us all differently. We are each unique, uniquely created, uniquely loved, and uniquely commissioned. There is no one in the whole of human history identical to you. God has made you unique. Because you are the person God has chosen for this time, this place, and for his purpose. So once more, what gifts or gift have you been given by God? And what is God calling you to? It might be a still small voice that won't go away. It might be a loud voice crying from the wilderness. It might be a desire that you've put to one side because you think that God couldn't possibly want you to do that. It's time to listen to that voice. It's time to test whether God gave you that desire. Now, you may have seen in the parish magazine this month or in our new prospectus for the coming year at St. Mary's that we've reformed and rebooted our ministry teams. We've identified 8 areas of ministry that we feel are integral to church life. These are the ministry areas here. Caring. Coming alongside others in times of need. Communicating. Engaging the wider community in church life. Gathering. All of the things that go on a Sunday morning to put this service together. Stewarding. Sustainably caring for our buildings and our land. In line with God's commandments to take care of these things responsibly. Supporting. It's all of the admin that goes on in the office that makes our church life work. Nurturing. Teaching. Teaching, growing us as disciples, celebrating. That's getting together for fun and fellowship, to get to know each other better and to be better as a family. And finally, reaching. Reaching out to the community with the love of God. These are the areas that we've identified. Now, we picture each area of ministry as a cog. That's a call of God. A call of God in the work of the church. And all of it is centered around Christ. Now, the cogs are the broad areas. And within each cog are related areas of service. And we've deliberately called each cog a verb. It's a caring, it's gathering, it's communicating, stewarding, supporting, nurturing, celebrating and reaching. Because service is all about doing. Each cog working together with the others, serving God and neighbours. Service is at the heart of Christian faith. After all, Jesus himself said, I have come not to be served, but to serve. Every Christian has a calling. That's what vocation means. And what God has called us to, the Holy Spirit will equip us for. The question again, what is God calling me to? Where can I serve? So over the next few weeks and months, we would like you to start asking those questions and having those conversations. Speak to people who know you well. Speak to others in the church. Speak to John, to Hugh, or to me. Now, this is not an exercise in filling job vacancies. This is about helping every Christian here in this parish to work out God's plan and purpose for them, so that everyone can flourish in the service of God and for the good of the whole community. God has called us to the most awesome mission. He calls us to help him save the world. The truly wonderful thing is that before we've even lifted a finger, God says to each of us, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." Amen.